up our collection, our offering. Now, those of you that are just guests with us, that's fine. This is, you don't have to feel, you give to your local churches, wherever you belong, but we're going to take up our offering this morning. Father, we just thank you and praise you for every opportunity to be a blessing, for you have blessed us so much. We know that. All we have to do is look around at our families and all the good things you give us in our lives. And we thank you this morning for another opportunity to bring our offerings and our tithes into the storehouse, Lord, knowing you are so faithful. We give nothing unless you've given it to us first. So in thanksgiving and praise, we bring it before you. We thank you for your blessing that is on it, Lord, the blessing you've promised in your word. And we just receive it to ourselves today, Lord God, knowing that you are our source and you will supply our needs, not ourselves. And so we entrust you this morning with our offering, Lord, and we thank you that your blessing is on it. And we receive, Father, all your good things by faith in Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen. Morning again, and welcome to our visitors. It's like Cameron said, it's good to look out and see faces, new faces. You get tired of looking at Darren's face and Jill's face. Some new faces today, praise God. Okay, I'm just teasing. Anyways, it's good to have you, and also welcome to those who are tuning in through the internet. Welcome. And today, I got a wonderful word. I don't know if we're going to be able to cram it all in, but we're going to sure give it a good try. And but to begin with this morning, I want us to open our Bibles up. If you have your Bibles here, if not, Darren is with us today, so he can usually get that verse up on the screen. But if for those of us who want to follow along in our Bibles, let's turn to Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 18, and I want us to read verses 2, 3, and 4. And I want to begin with this morning. Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, verily, verily, I say to you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, whosoever therefore will humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, I'm going to just use that as my foundation this morning, kind of. We're going to stray away from it. We're going to come back to it again later on. But you know, we're only 2 days away from Christmas. Is it 2 days? I guess it is only 2 days. And you know, there's a lot of us that are here today that are all grown up. How many of us are all grown up? I guess that's all of us in this room. And you know, we kind of have grown away or kind of lost that excitement of Christmas as a child. How many of us remember back Christmases when we were kids and how exciting it was? Well, now we're living it and seeing it through the eyes of our children. They can't wait to open the gifts. They can't. But I mean, all of us in here, do you remember the excitement of Christmas when you were like just little? Some of you are looking at me like, no. We all went through it. And it's kind of sad because when you grow up, you lose that. You kind of would like to get it back, but how do you go back there? But now, we all have children. I think most of us in this room have children, minus, of course, these three up here. So we do really see Christmas through the eyes of our children. We see that same excitement. And it's important, because you're creating memories, right? But we're talking about little children. And we find enjoyment in watching our kids open up their gifts, right? Like that's important. It's important to me. I love to sit and watch them and the looks on their faces as they open up their Christmas presents. And you know, when you and I go out of our way and we kind of buy Christmas presents for our loved ones, and especially our children and people that are closest to us, you know, you usually just don't go out and buy just anything. You don't buy the first thing you see. You usually do a little investigation. You think, oh, they would love this or they would love that. And you spend a little time on your gift, not? Am I wrong here? You're looking at me like, because I think that I hope everybody spends a little time on their loved ones. So you don't usually just go out and buy anything, but we try to get something that is that they really want or you know is really going to make them happy and be excited about. And the more, you know, the one thing I've realized is the more joy the recipient exudes, the more joy you receive, right? I mean, somebody opens up your gift and they kind of like, and you know, it's like, oh yeah, and then they kind of throw it aside and kind of, like, how does that make you feel? You're hurt and you're like, oh gee. And it totally, next year, you don't even want to go there anymore. You don't even want to try and buy that person something, you know? And so it's important, but you know, the Lord, I want to bring this into our understanding of how God feels as well. God has given us the greatest gift. We don't really know the length, the depth, the height, and the breadth of what he's given us, but some of us kind of receive him that way. It's like, you know, and kind of throw him aside. But my point isn't even that this morning. God will always be there to bless you again, even if you take every gift he gives you and throws it aside. But my point is the joy that he receives when you receive, the joy that exudes from God. Just like we, when our kids receive a gift and they're happy about it, we're happy. And that's how God is. When God gives us something and we receive it like, yes, and we're excited about it, God is just so pleased. Nothing pleases God more than when we become like little children and we receive. Amen? And that's so important for us to understand. You know, John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Now that word gave, a lot of people read it this way, God so loved the world that he sent his only son. Now, there's a big difference. The Lord brought this out this week as I was just meditating on John 3:16. Everybody knows John 3:16. You see it written in football stadiums and hockey. I mean, everybody knows John 3:16. And as I was meditating on this, it was like the word gave just jumped out at me. You know, God didn't just send his son. Some people see it this way. God sent Jesus. Jesus died on the cross so that I could have my sins forgiven and someday I'm going to go and be in heaven. God did not just send Jesus. He gave us Jesus. Do you understand the difference? Jesus wasn't just borrowed to us for a short period of time. He is forever yours and he is forever mine. And I am forever his and so are you. There is a big difference. Jesus was a gift given to you for all eternity. Now, we really don't maybe understand that. What do you mean he's mine? You own Jesus in a sense. He's yours. God gave him to you. And he's not going to take him back. And he didn't come with a receipt. There's no exchanges. He is the mother of all gifts. Amen? Now, you may not have opened that box deep enough to find out what is all in that box. When you opened it up, you saw Jesus and you tossed it aside. But my goodness, he is really the greatest gift ever given. So God, I want you to first of all get, God did not send Jesus. He gave him to you. He's yours. And that's why it gives the idea that you have to receive it. If I give you a gift and you don't receive it, I can't do anything about it. So Jesus has to be received. And when you receive him, he becomes your very own. Wow. Your own Jesus. I have my own Jesus. And we do in a personal way because we're all different. So he relates to you differently than he relates to me. He uses different words with you, Al, than he does with me because you understand differently. You understand all those cool words. That's how he talks to men. I know he talks with the cool words. And the women, it's more emotional. Amen? It's true. He speaks our language. So we understand what he's trying to tell us. Now, also in Isaiah 9:6, it also says this, that for unto us a child is born, unto us a child is, what's the word? Given, not lent, given. It's important that you see the difference. He is yours. So when you give a gift, it's given. You're not going to come and take it back. You don't lend it to somebody for, oh, here, I'm going to give you this bracelet, Carl, for a couple of months, but I want it back. By March, I want it back. Now, that's not a gift that's given. That doesn't belong to you then, does it? Jesus belongs to you. He was given. And when you see that, it's like, wow, what have I done with him? No wonder the Bible says that the question that's going to be asked you someday is, what did you do with him? He was given to you. Did you stash him in the corner or on a shelf somewhere? And, you know, no. What did you do with Jesus? So when you give a gift, it's to be It's given, and then it is to be used and enjoyed, right? That's the whole purpose of giving a gift. So Jesus is forever yours and you are forever his. God did not give us his son as a gift so that we could serve him. Now, I want you to see what I'm trying to say here this morning. He's your gift. He's yours. And I don't like to use the word use, but it's the truth. He came to serve you. He's a gift sent to help you, Al, in your troubles. And God says, you know what? I know you have troubles on the earth. I know there's all kinds of calamities. There's diseases, there's sickness. So he wrapped up Jesus and he sent him and he said, here, here's the answer. I give him to you. He's your gift. And in him are all your answers. In him is your healing. In him is your prosperity. And he's yours. He's yours. We don't have to go to God and say, if I give somebody a gift, they don't phone me up the next day and say, you know what, you know, is it all right, you know, if I use the machine you gave me, you know, like that Mixmaster you bought me for Christmas, is it okay if I use it today? And you'll say, well, don't be ridiculous. It's yours. Use it today, tomorrow, use it 3 a.m, 4 a.m. It doesn't matter. It's yours. It's yours to use, right? And that's how Jesus is. He's yours individually. And if there's a need you have, he's the answer. And it's not, God didn't send Jesus so that we could serve him or learn how to live right or follow him. And all these things will happen to you in spite of you not even trying to do it. But he was sent first and foremost to save you, to heal you, deliver you, whatever it is that you need done. He's the answer. And so you need to see that. It's so important for us to understand that in our thinking when we think of Jesus as a gift. So Jesus was given, what was the real reason Jesus was given to us? To give us life. Now, here again, what do you want? What do you mean by life? Well, life is to enjoy. If you're living on the earth and you're not, you know, you're so sick that you can't go anywhere or do anything, it's not life. That you're living death. You're living hell on earth. That's not life. But Jesus came that we might have life and enjoy life. So he is life. So he was given to us to enjoy. Now, Jesus was given to give us life. We're going to say that. I want us all to say together. Jesus came to give us life. 1 John chapter 5, 11, 12 says, and this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. This life is in his Son. He who has the Son has this life. And he that has not the Son has not life. So God's whole purpose in giving us this gift, in giving his Son, was to give us a life, a good life. Now, the life that I'm talking about here, because most people see it as eternal life. That means someday when I lay my body down, I'm going to heaven. That's eternal life. No, you need to see the difference of the life. Jesus didn't come to give you life. He came to give you his life. And how many of us know that Jesus has a good life? Is Jesus ever sick? Is Jesus ever depressed or anxious or worried? No, seriously, this gift was given you because it's his life that you can receive from this gift. Not just life. Because you say life to people, as long as they're breathing, they think they're alive. But we're talking about a life, a supernatural type of life is what Jesus came to give us. It's his life that he came to give. And now, you know, I'm going to just stop and say this. I pray that the Holy Spirit, you know, will give us this revelation that this is the life we have, his life. And so the next time you ask yourself about life, you got to stop and ask yourself this question. What kind of life does God enjoy? How's God feeling about this? You know, is God stressed? Is Jesus sick? And you know the answer is absolutely not. And that's the life he came to give you. It's yours. It's a gift. It's free. If you just open it up and receive it. To give us his life. Important for us to understand that. Now, I'm just blank. That's just my foundation. We're not even going to be talking about this today. Now, I'm going to take it totally, you know, into a different direction. We've heard it said so many times that in order for us to know how much God loves us, we must see how much God loves his son Jesus. For God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. And you know what? This is very true. And I know that in this lifetime, most of us will never understand how much God loves his son. How many here have that revelation? How much God loves Jesus. But on the other hand, we can believe, it's not hard for us to believe that God loved his son passionately. Anybody have a problem believing that in this room? But what we do have a really hard time believing is that God loves us as much as he loves Jesus. Because it's been said that if you understand how much God loves Jesus, you will finally begin to understand how much he loves you. Because God so loved that he gave Jesus. And that's hard for us to fathom. That is so hard for us to get our brains around that. It's we know it, in fact, in our heads. We know it as head knowledge. But you know what? It's got to get in here. It's got to drop from here to here. You got to know it personally in your heart in order to enjoy his life, his kind of life. Amen? It's so important for us to know that. So we have a problem receiving this, that truth, that gift, that God actually, our Father, loves us as much as he loves Jesus. Of course he loves Jesus. Jesus was perfect. Jesus never sinned. Jesus was the perfect son, perfect in every way. But you know, this is the one truth that seems the hardest for mankind to receive. We can receive a lot of things, but this is one thing that we have a real hard time receiving. And I'm not talking about, like I said, just head knowledge of it. I'm talking about in your hearts where you know it, and you feel it, you experience it. It's real to you. And, you know, we are so programmed in this world. This is how we grew up. We're so programmed to receive only the amount we think we deserve when it comes to love from people and acceptance. It's true. Only the amount we feel we deserve. And you know what? You and I, we tend to look down upon people who take more than they really deserve. Just like I looked in Matthew chapter 20. Remember the householder who gets out in the morning and he needs workers in his vineyard? And he goes, hey, oh, the guy's standing around. He says, come on over here and work for me. Oh, yeah. And he agreed to pay them so much a day. So the guys were just happy to have work. I mean, so they all went to work. And this happened, I think, 4 times during the day. He goes out 3 hours later, 3 hours later, 3 hours later. And he keeps hiring. Every time he sees somebody standing idle in the street, he says, hey, you guys want a job? Come on over and get in. I've got a job. Go out into the vineyard. And so at the end of the day, they're all standing in the lineup and they're all promised the same wage. Well, how do you think the guy at the beginning of the day feels when the guy who worked like maybe half hour in the heat of, not even in the heat of the day, he gets the same wage as the guy who started at 7 in the morning or 6. And he said, hey, just a minute. You see, we're so programmed because that's human nature. That's not fair. Or how many of you guys are working in a company and the guy who does nothing and you're just working, but he gets the promotion. He gets all the frills and the benefits and you get nothing. How's that make you feel? This isn't fair, because human nature is programmed to think that, you look down at people like that who just are takers. Come on, you look down on people. But I'm going to tell you something. Unless you become a taker, when it comes to the kingdom of God, you aren't going to end up with much. And that's why Jesus said, unless you become like a little child. How many of us know children take, and they'll push to the limit? They're like little sponges. When it comes to receiving love, they demand love. Come on, I've seen it in my grandkids. They demand attention. They demand love. And when you give them love, oh, they're so happy. And they could have been up screaming all night long and just throwing fits, not eating their meals. And they expect you to love them. It has nothing to do with whether they deserve it or don't deserve it. And that's why Jesus said, unless you become like a little child where my love is concerned, you won't be able to receive. And when he says enter into the kingdom of heaven, he is not talking about heaven someday. He's talking about heaven on the earth. We have to become like sponges when it comes to God's love. Greedy, demanding his love. Like your children demand it from you. I mean, we can laugh. It's true. Anybody who had kids in this room knows that's true. A child is like a sponge when it comes to love. You cannot love them. You can never love your child too much. You can't. I'm not talking about spoiling your child. I'm talking about love. You can never love them. And then you have children, and some children are you just marvel. Justin was a fine example of that. We could spank Justin. How many spankings did you get a day? 5? maybe sometimes more. And Justin, he didn't know he got, I mean, he was upset for a minute. And then he'd turn around and he'd be right back on your lap and smiling. That is a child, because a child knows they're loved. Children have no pride, none. And that's how we need to be when it comes to God's love, no pride. And we need to be greedy. We need to not check our, a child doesn't stop and say, oh, I don't think daddy's gonna love me or feed me today because I was not very good this morning. You see, a child doesn't even think that way. And if a child does, there's something wrong in that home. Because a child knows. You will never starve your child, Kendra, if they misbehave. Will you? No, not if good parents. And we're all good parents. We're good people. We love our children. We might take away the video games or we might do something else, but we are not going to keep their bread. And neither will God. God will never put a sickness on you because you feel like you did something. No, God is like you. And the Bible says that if God is so good, how much more is he going to feed you? He's not going to. I mean, the children's bread, according to the scriptures, is healing. God is not going to withhold healing from you because you didn't maybe live up to some, you know, expectation. God is all good. And if we're good to our children, how much more is he good to us? And you know what? The fact that we need the Father's love and we're, you know, it's all from him anyways. We didn't design ourselves like this. You know, we can't get up one day and say, well, I'm going to be the type of person who doesn't need any love. You're going to be a very sorry person. Love is so important. So we are so programmed to believe in this world that we only get what we deserve. But that's not true. Because that's what God meant. If you don't be like a little child, little children don't expect just what they deserve. That doesn't even come into it. They don't question whether mom and dad are going to feed me or look after me. We must become like that when it comes to God. So it's hard for us to receive above what we feel we deserve from God, even when it comes to the love of God. But I'm going to tell you something. The truth is that the amount of the love of God that you receive and walk in every day is the amount that you are going to enjoy this life. It goes hand in hand. Enjoying the kingdom life. And that's why Jesus said, unless you become like this little child, you can't enter in. So children love to be loved. It's one thing, if you get anything out of this morning, you need to be loved. You will love to be loved by your Father in this sense. They have no pride. They are like sponges. And they know you love them and you are a pushover. It's true. You need to see your Heavenly Father that way. He's a pushover for you. He is so in love with you. And even when he's being stern, how many of us know in this room the hardest thing you will ever do is to discipline your children? And especially when you know it's something that they really wanted. I don't know about Allison and Steve. They were probably the perfect kids, never needed discipline. But look at Al, he's frowning. But, you know, I know for a fact, I've got four boys, and it is tough when you got to be hard on your kids. And you think it's any different with our Father? He just wants us to just be happy and he wants to love on us and be good to us. It's no different. But God doesn't discipline the way we do. And that's a whole other topic. We're not going to get into that this morning. So when it comes to the love of God and receiving God's love, you need to be like a sponge. God wants us to receive like little children. And receiving this love will be the most important, crucial thing you will ever do in this lifetime, Allison. It will make all the difference to how you're going to enjoy the rest of your life, is how much of this that you receive. It is so important. How many times have you and I been so disappointed in life, so crushed, even as Christians, even knowing the word and saying, you know, Lord, you promised this. Nothing seems to be happening. And we're asking why? Why, God, why? Anybody been there? You're disappointed. You're struggling. And, you know, you cry out to God almost in despair, and you can't understand, why isn't my faith working? You know, I'm doing everything that I know to do. I know I believe the word. I know I believe in Jesus. I believe he died on the cross for my healing. Whatever it is you're believing for, we have all the head knowledge we need. We have it. We know that God's grace is free. We know, but even in spite of all of the big understanding that we have in our heads, sometimes it's like, I don't understand where, you know, I'm trying so hard, I'm walking by faith, and nothing seemingly is happening. Why? Why did this not materialize? Why am I still struggling in this area? And how many of us know this morning that God's ways are not our ways? And I said all of that I just said to say these few things that I'm going to say that I don't want you to forget. So I want to share something with you that I pray that will open up all of our eyes to the importance of being like a little child and being that child that soaks in God's love like a sponge. God, did you know something about God? God has only one weapon. I'm going to use the word weapon because I don't really know how else to say it, how the Lord showed me in the Spirit. God is only one weapon. That means that whenever there's a problem in the universe, because God's in control, He created everything, right? Whenever there's a problem anywhere, anytime, God uses the same thing all the time. He's only got one thing that He can use. Anybody guess what that is? Love. God has one way of doing things. One way. Love. And that's why the Bible says, my ways are not your ways, because that certainly ain't our way. When we get a problem, and especially if we're angry with somebody, the last thing we're going to do is love. Amen? It's like, how could I get back at this person, or how could I do this? We tried to, but God has only one way of fixing your life. One way. It's love. The Bible says in the book of John that God is love. As simple as that. God doesn't have love. He is love. Or, let's paraphrase it, love is who God is. Very important for us to understand that. Now, let's look at it from a little bit of a different perspective again. God created the earth and everything in this earth, right? Can we all agree on that? I'm not saying something that's not scriptural. So love created the earth and everything on it, including you, because God is love. So everything was created by love, God's love. So everything was created by love and for love. Do you understand? And when Adam and Eve was approached by the enemy, they were happy in the garden. The Bible says they must have been covered with what they call glory, a glory. There was a glory around them, okay? So they were approached by the enemy, and I believe that the reason the enemy was able to deceive Adam and Eve because they did not have the love of God on the inside of them. They didn't know God's love personally. They were surrounded with a shield on the outside, which I believe was God's love. Kept them protected. Gave them everything that they needed. You see, God is love. He created everything by love, for love. Adam and Eve were created by His same love and placed into love. And that love of His surrounded them. And as soon as they ate from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, that thing, poof, it was gone. And immediately, Adam and Eve were naked. So they covered up with leaves. And then what did they do? It's very important to see this. What did they do next? They were afraid. So they ran and they hid. Now, how do I know it was love they lost? Because the Bible says, if you flip forward into the New Testament, it says that perfect love casts out all fear. What did they lose because they got so afraid? They lost the love. They lost the sense of being loved by God, and they got afraid. So they ran and they hid. But we also know that now in Christ, you and I were put into Christ's death, and now we've got it so much better than Adam and Eve. You know why? Because the love isn't on the outside anymore. Romans 5:5 says what? The love of God is now inside you, shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. The love is there. Adam and Eve had it on the outside. They didn't have a revelation of God's love like we do. Or could have. I'm not saying everybody has it. In fact, probably a lot of people don't have the revelation of God's love for them. So I know that God created the whole world by love, for love, in love. And if you, and that's what life is. That's what the life of God is. And if you're not living in that, you cannot enjoy life. You're not living in the life that God has actually created you to live in. So God's way is love. And when Adam and Eve sinned, they lost that sense of love. So what does God do? Does he look down and say, okay, I'm going to get my strongest angels, we're going to go down to the earth, and we're going to wipe out Satan and all of his courts? No, that's not the way God works. That's not his ways. God works by love. So what does he do? He takes his love and he places it into a physical body and he gives it to us because he knows you need love. You guys, you're going to perish without this love. You need my love. And so he sends it. Who is the love of God manifested? Jesus. So Jesus is God's love. And so then he goes to the cross and he demonstrates that love by dying on the cross for you and I and taking on every sin. You know, Jesus didn't just die for the sins that you committed up until this point. He died for your whole lifetime of sins. Thank God he did, because he died 2,000 years ago. And when you receive Jesus, even when you're older, you can't say, well, I only received the forgiveness of my sins from the time I'm 60 back, and now the rest I'm responsible for. You're not forgiven of your sins according to your remembrance of them or your confession of them. Amen? When Jesus died, every sin of every person on the face of the earth who was ever born from Adam all the way to the end is completely and totally forgiven. It's done. And now you and I, Michelle, can receive God's love without ever feeling condemned. It's like, you know what? Sure, we're going to miss it. And we're going to be tempted to get down on ourselves. But just remember this. It's done, Steve. There is no sin that stands between you and God. It's you. It'll only be you that keeps yourself from receiving that love by you condemning yourself. The devil is not condemning you anymore. He can't condemn you. He was kicked out of heaven. He used to condemn you. No more. And the only person that condemn you in your life is you. But in the meantime, God is just loving you. Just like you love your children. And your kid is running or kicking, walking around kicking himself. I don't think my dad loves me. And your dad's thinking, I don't get it. I've tried everything to get through to this kid. He just can't receive my love. Why? What's wrong? Condemnation. So you got to know this. You got to know that every sin from the time you were born to the time you die is done. And when God looks at you, he sees you in Christ. And when he looks at Jesus, he sees you. Wow. No wonder this is the mother of all gifts. If you can just receive this. And now you are free to be like a little child. Do you think a little child worries about mommy and daddy not loving them because I misbehaved yesterday? We can be like that little child because we know God's love is not dependent on my performance or my goodness. God loves me because of his goodness. Amen? Because God is love. And when Adam and Eve sinned, God was not allowed to flow freely with that love. He couldn't because of sin. But then when he put all his sin into his son Jesus, he did away with that sin. And now God's love once again can freely just flow. And you are the recipient. You open up that gift. You can do whatever you want with it. But it's free. Allison, you can take it out and enjoy it to the fullest. Or you can put it back and say, no, this is too good for me, and push it away like so many of us do who don't understand. Or maybe take it out only on days where you feel like you deserve it. Oh, I was really good. Man, I've been just, you know, walking the line. I've been blessing people. I just feel like God's love is just all over me. No. It's the times where you missed it that you need to take that box out and receive from that box of love. Those are the times you need it the most, just like a child. Child never needs love more than when they're misbehaving. Because a lot of times children misbehave because they're screaming, they're wanting love. Like I said, they'll demand it from you. And if you give a child what it needs the most, which is love, that child will usually end up being very happy, very stable, very important. And as parents, we know that. I'm not telling you something you guys don't know already. But it's no different than with our relationship with God. So love is so important. But you know, all that Jesus did for us, even coming and becoming our sin, going to the cross, was by love as well. It was love that kept him on that cross, because the Bible even says he could have called for a whole legion of angels to deliver him. What kept him there? The same love that I'm talking about this morning. He received his Father's love. He knew God loved him. His Father loved him. And that's what kept him on that cross. That's what kept him going when he could have quit and went back to heaven and said, you know what, these guys are shysters. They're not worth it. They don't deserve it. They did nothing to earn this. But no, it was love. It's God's nature. It's God's way of saving you. When you think of needing something in your life, I don't care if it's money, I don't care if it's health, whatever it is you need, know this, the way to that is love. If we would do what the Bible tells us, you know, there's so many places in the scriptures, even Corinthians, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about all the gifts of the Spirit, the power gifts, the gifts of faith, the gift of tongues, interpretations, whatever, and on it goes. And we as Christians, we want these gifts, to walk in the power of God, to be able to lay hands on the sick and see them completely recover, wow. And then after discussing all the gifts, it goes on into chapter 13 and says, but I'm going to show you a better way. And what does it say? Love. Love never fails. Forget about all the gifts. There's one way that's way better, way more sure, and that's love. Seek, aim at, strive after to get this love. I'm not talking to you about your love for God. I'm talking about his love for you, because you will never love God unless you know he loves you. Right, Steve? And once you know how much he loves you, you begin to fall in love with God. It's like, wow, this love is amazing. So Jesus did everything at the cross through the same love. It's always love, love, love. Love is the answer. Love is the power, right? Okay, so this love that I'm talking about here today cannot be earned. It can only be received. It can only be received, unlike Adam and Eve, who had it around them. It's in us. I said Romans 5:5. And this love is in your hearts. Now I'm going to say something. You can never be separated from it, no matter where you are in the face of the earth. What does it say in Romans chapter 8, verse 37 to 39? In all things we are more than conquerors through him. How are we conquerors? Through him that loved us. We're conquerors through his love. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor anything present, nor anything to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate you from the love of God, which is where? In Christ Jesus. It is forever your gift. Like I said, you can't exchange it. There's no receipts when you open up Jesus. So there is nothing you can do in your lifetime, Michelle, that's ever going to cause God to abandon you or for his love to leave you. Wow. Nothing. Because it's not, you didn't earn it in the first place, and you can't lose it by your bad performance in the second place. Do you understand? It was received as a gift. Jesus said in John chapter 17, 23, that the Father has loved us as he loves Jesus. And then in verse 26, Jesus says this, I have declared unto you their name. He's talking to us. He's saying a prayer to his heavenly Father, and he's talking about his disciples. He says, I have declared unto them your name, that the love where that you have loved me may be in them. Now, he says, I have declared them your name. What does that mean? Did you know that if you do a study in the Word of God, there are exactly 16 titles for the name of God? How many of us in this room know what the number 16 numerically stands for in the Bible? It stands for love. And God is known by 16 different titles. What I mean by that is, I am known by mom, grandma, pastor, Mrs. Schmaltz. Everybody has titles. God is love. But the funny thing is all his titles come together to form 16 of them, and that is the numeric value for love. God is love. And if you did a study in all the different titles of God, you'd see, oh my goodness, this is so wonderful. God is so big. His love is so wonderful. In all his different names, he shows a different part of himself. So it's important for us to see that God is love. This is the victory, the Bible says, that overcometh the world, even our what? Our faith. And faith worketh by love. Your faith, remember I said, how sometimes you feel exasperated. Why isn't nothing happening? Why can't I see my faith working? It's love. Your faith needs love. Faith alone isn't going to do it. You need that love. John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 tells us that perfect love, why do we need this love? It casts out all fear. All fear, because fear is torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. Now, the word that we would use today isn't so much fear, but stress. How many of us are stress-free in this life? Come on. Not a one hand. I shouldn't have mine up either. Seriously. The Bible uses fear, but it's stress. This perfect love casts out all stress. You know why? When you know how much your Father loves you, you become like a little child. A child has no stress. He doesn't worry how he's going to pay the bills tomorrow or who's going to buy him the clothes tomorrow or put the food on the table. He's just got that confidence because he knows the Father's love. He can rest. Does it mean he's got it in his hand? No. But he knows tomorrow. He knows who's holding tomorrow. He knows that it's going to be there. God's going to supply. And so this perfect love of God casts out all fear. It is a continual love, a complete love. It is always coming towards you, this unmerited flow of favor and grace to give you everything that you need in your life. And you alone, are the only one that can stop it from reaching you. God's already sent it. If you don't receive it, does that mean he loves you less? No, no, he loves you the same. But you're on the receiving end. And if you don't receive it, it'll never manifest to you. It'll never become real to you. It'll never give you the life that it was sent to give you. So you have to receive this. How to receive God's love? By faith. Everything is by faith. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, when he prays for the church in Rome, that we might be, this is his prayer, you might be rooted and grounded in this love, that you might be able to comprehend it. What is its breadth, length, depth, height? That sounds like it's a big thing. To know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. Now, this is really funny. This tells us this is a revelation. You cannot know in your head God's love. You can't. It has to get down in your heart. The Holy Spirit has to open it up to you. And that's where your faith comes in. This love needs to be revealed by the Spirit of God, but you must receive it by faith. We must keep ourselves, the Bible says, in this love of God. Not our love for God, but his love for us. And every miracle and everything you will ever need in this life is given by the power of love. Did you know that that's God's way? You have a need, you come to him. When you feel the power coming into your life or anything that happens in your life, don't you understand it's the power of love? That's what healed your body. That's what brought you your finances. That's what gave you everything is this love. It's his power, it's his way. And the more that, don't you see it, the more we see it, the more we receive it, the more of this power that's coming towards us. Amen? Do you understand that? So it's so important to see that God is love, his ways is love, his power is love. And so if you're here today and you have a need, I pray that in the next year, 2013, be the greatest year ever. Why? Because this year, I am going to get a revelation of this love because I know that's the answer. That's my healing. My healing's wrapped up in that because that's the power. We think of God with this great power. You know what the power is? It's love. It's his love for you. And in there comes all your miracles. Because now you're a big receiver. It's like, yes, Lord, knock me over with your love. And then all of a sudden healing starts coming in. Finances, your life, you start to enjoy life. You start to relax. The stress starts to leave. And you really start to walk in God's love. It is the power for anything you need. It is the only power because it's God's way. God doesn't have a little power over here. He uses this over here. No, he is one thing. God is love. And when he begins to move in your life, it's love that brings you the answers. Always his love. It's unconditional. It's not anything you can do that is going to take it away on you. Amen? In closing, we're just going to go through. I just wanted to just share this because it's important for us to see this. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 3, those of us who know the scriptures, you were there. You notice there it says, to know this love which surpasses knowledge. That means it goes beyond our own understanding of it. That means you need a revelation. You've got to be determined, first of all, Lord, every day you get up and say, I receive this love. Because that's what faith does. Faith receives something it doesn't even see. It doesn't understand it. But we know it's in the Bible. If you sent your love, it's a gift to me. I receive it. Then it goes on to say, to know the love that goes beyond even what we can understand, that you might be filled with all of the fullness of God. Now, how many of us know that if you are filled with the fullness of God, you have no needs in your life? Wow, you're living heaven on earth. But look at the next part. Now to him is able to do far above, more than all we can ask, imagine, according to this power that's at work within us. That's where the more exceedingly abundantly comes to us, is when we have the love. Now we're really blessed. And it's coming in from all over. But it all begins with receiving the love, because his love is the power. And that's why the Bible says that faith without love. You need faith, or love is what makes your faith work. Faith worketh by love, Galatians 5:6. And it's so true. All our part is to just believe that God is good. You know, that's what faith is. Faith is not some big work that we do. It's just coming to Jesus and saying, Jesus, you know, I believe in you. I believe your word is true. And I have this need. That's faith. But you know what makes it really work? When you walk away and you know he's given you what you've asked? Knowing his love. And you don't worry. You don't fret. You leave it with him. And you say, well, I asked Jesus for that. And I know he's going to give it to me. Why? Because I know his love for me. Amen? That's why love is so important. You were created by love, to live in this world by love. And that's why men and women and people who do not know God's love, they're not, there's something on the inside of them. They don't know it, but they're created for that. They were created in that atmosphere to live in that love. And they say, no, I don't need God. They do need God. It's what they were created for. They were created by love, to live in love. And so we know it's so very, very important. It's not about what we do and how many times we pray and all the different forms we follow. It's all about just receiving. And we have such a hard time receiving in this life. It's like, well, how do I know for sure? How do I know for sure? When you know his love, you know for sure. But I'm talking about a revelation in your heart where you know it's true. And then you don't doubt anymore about your healing, your finances, or anything else. So all of us, if you're born again, and if you have Jesus in your heart, you already got that love in your heart. The Bible says it's already shed abroad in your hearts. It's there. But by faith, we need to begin to speak it out so that it begins to manifest in our lives, in whatever area. Because you know what? God knows what you need in your life. He knows everything about you. He created you. And he knows how to bring this love out, and he knows which areas you need to be loved in. Because many of us feel rejection, feel, you know, there might be areas in our lives, all of us. You know, the Lord spoke something to me about 3 weeks ago, and I was thinking about, you know, God sent his word and he healed us. And, you know, and I looked around, and it was basically after that shooting where all those innocent children were killed. I mean, wasn't that just awful? I don't think there was a dry eye from anyone who heard that news. I mean, that was just awful. If you didn't have kids that age, you had grandkids. And it was just a terrible thing. And even Michelle, as a teacher, I'm sure she thought of it even differently than the rest of us did. I mean, she's been a teacher all her life. How terrible. Kendra, I'm sure you looked at it in the same way. It's like, oh my goodness, what would I do if something that awful would ever happen, you know? But you know, it is love. It is love that we need to understand that this is the important part in any one of our lives. And God spoke to me at that time. And I said, oh God, what are we going to do? And then 3 days later, I said the same thing to him again when I heard on the news they're taking Christ out of Christmas. And I said, oh, they're taking Christ out of Christmas? I mean, I knew that. And the Lord spoke to me and said to me, because you right away think, well, how we as Christians should stand up for our rights. And God said, no, 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 no. And I knew it already, his voice in my heart. That's not my way. I love. How do you fix anything in this world? How do you fix what happened? Love. Love is the answer. Love is God's way of bringing healing, of keeping these things from happening. Love is the answer. To know the love of Christ, greatest thing you can ever do, so that we're all filled with the fullness of God. It is the thing, you know, John 4:16 says, we have known and believed the love that God has to us. For he that dwells in love dwells in God. He that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Psalm 91, how many of us in this room use Psalm 91? I use it just about weekly for protection. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He who abides in love abides in God. What do you think abiding in the secret place is? The place where you're totally protected. Like Kelly said, you know, when she heard the news about all these children, she cried, and she couldn't help but just go to the Lord and say, you know what, Lord, I am so thankful that my child is protected. I keep them protected through Psalm 91. You've promised us, if we dwell in this place, where are you dwelling? In love. In his love. That is the secret place. That's the place where the Bible says you're going to look out and you're not, you won't see, you will only see the wickedness around you. No plague is going to come nigh your dwelling. No evil is going to befall you. You're going to be delivered from destruction and from all these things. Why? Because you're dwelling in the secret place. What is the secret place? God's love. It's the place of protection. It's the place of well-being and joy. And that's where you're going to enjoy life. But you have got to take that step of faith, and you have got to begin to confess the love of God in your life every day and just say, Lord, I receive it. I want to be greedy. When it comes to God's love, I don't care. I want more than the next guy. You know, we think being greedy isn't nice, but I want more than the next guy, and I ain't sharing it with you, Diane, at least not now. I can be greedy with God's love. And I know what's going to happen. You know what? When I start to fill up with that love, and I know I am so loved. I've heard testimonies of men. I remember Andrew Womack shared on that, how when he began to get the revelation of the love of God, he could do nothing but cry. What did he say? Cried for 3 months? Every time he went to pray, the tears just ran. The reason I'm looking at Cara was because she went to his college in England, right? Yeah. And so she's heard this story. And so there is, and I mean, he was a preacher all his life. And yet he didn't have that revelation. But when he got it, it changed his life. And all of us, if we want to change life, we want to live a new life in 2013 and see greater things and experience more of the goodness of God. That's the answer, is get a revelation of his love by faith every day. It doesn't matter if you feel his love or you sense. You might wake up and, you know, the blues in the morning. You might wake up and, you know, the last thing you feel like is God loving you. But you stir it up. You just say, you know what, Lord, I thank you. Today, your love is real, and I receive it. I am a big receiver. I'm greedy. I'm going to be like a little child where your love is concerned. I'm going to soak it all up. And you just begin to do that. Remind yourself during the day how much God loves you. And eventually, you know what? The Holy Spirit, what you're doing is you're giving the opportunity to the Holy Spirit, who is the one who gives you the revelation, something that you cannot understand with. You can't understand that kind of love with your mind. Because human love, I only love you, Steve. If you did something awful, I probably wouldn't love you as much. Whereas God's love is so much greater than that. He loves you no matter what you do. Do you understand? This kind of love is what all of us are looking for. Unconditional love that will never reject us. And so put it into your life every day. I'm excited about 2013. You know, we've heard so much about grace and walking in favor and all of that, but you know what? Love is what's going to bring it all together. Our understanding of grace is great. Understanding of his blessing, his free gift, and all of that. But when we finally, because the Bible even talks about growth, Ephesians chapter 4:18, you can go there this week and read it. It talks about how we're going to grow into the fullness of the stature in Christ by speaking the truth. How? In love. Love is the key that's going to bring this whole thing together. We're supposed to have the end of the world on Friday. We're all here. But you know what? It's you and I that's going to usher in the end of the world. But we're all going to be here until we all come into the unity of the faith, into the fullness of the stature of Christ. How do you think that's ever going to happen? Except by love. So I'm excited. I believe this is going to be, you're going to be hearing more about love in 2013 than ever. Because this is the thing. This is why we as Christians are frustrated. How come things aren't happening? Why am I not seeing a breakthrough? I'm walking by faith. I believe the word. I know it's true. But it's love. It's love that you need. Love that'll set you free. Amen? Amen. We're going to call on the worship team, and we're going to have communion this morning. And every time you take communion, that's what you're doing. This is not a ritual. It's the cross that actually demonstrated. God sent Jesus, and Jesus demonstrated the love of God on the cross. And every time we partake of the communion, we're actually bringing to our remembrance what Jesus did for us. Amen? And so, Justin, would you like to hand out the wine, yeah, or the juice or whatever? Just take, here, let me take that off. And Steve, I'm going to give you a job this morning. You want to hand out the communion for me, please? Should we call the kids or should we leave them back there? Okay. Oh, sorry, Dawn. I'm going to turn my...
Darren, can you put the overhead on? Or Cam?
Thank you, Jesus.
It's the last song.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus, I love you. I need you, my Savior. Jesus, your love it has healed me. Open my heart. Jesus, I thank you for all that you've given. Jesus, I stand here amazed at forgiveness. Every time I close my eyes, I'm filled with awe at all you've done. And every time I think on you, I'm grateful for your love. Jesus, I thank you for all that you've given. Jesus, I stand here amazed at forgiveness. Every time I close my eyes, I'm filled with awe at all you've done. Every time I think on you, I'm grateful for your love. Oh Lord, here I am, raise my hands, I surrender. Oh Lord, here I am, raise my hands, I surrender. Every time I close my eyes, I'm filled with awe at all you've done. Every time I think on you, I'm grateful for your love. I'm grateful for your love. your love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. We're so grateful here today, Lord, for your love. And there was no greater demonstration of your love than when you went to that cross. You died before we even knew you existed, before we knew you, before we were even born. You were such a wonderful God. You sent your own Son to take our place in death, that we might take your place in life. And every time we come to the communion table, we are bringing to our remembrance what a wonderful God you are and how much you love us, as you demonstrated it through Jesus, through his death on the cross. He took all, surely the Bible says he took all of our pain, all of our grief, all of our suffering. He carried it for us and he set us free. And by his stripes, we know we are healed. And on the night before Jesus was betrayed, he took bread into his hands. He blessed it and he gave thanks for it. He broke that bread and he gave it to his disciples and he said, take and eat of this bread, for this is my body. And every time you eat of this bread, you are bringing me to remembrance. Jesus, we are so thankful for your body that was broken. And today as we partake of the communion for a few moments before all the excitement breaks loose over Christmas, we're just remembering your body that was broken. For you really are the reason for the season that we're in. And we praise you and we thank you that you gave up your body that ours could be made whole. Thank you, Jesus. You can partake of the bread with me, please. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. And after you had done eating the bread, Lord, you took the cup of the new covenant. The new covenant, you said, that was sealed with your blood, the very blood of God was shed for your sins and for mine. And surely that blood was enough. And so, Lord, we give you praise and thanksgiving that you poured out your blood to wash away all sin, our whole lifetime of sins. And after you had broke that bread, you took the cup and you told your disciples to take the cup and drink of it. For this is the cup of your blood, the blood of the new covenant. And so we just thank you, Father, that Jesus Christ shed his blood for all of our sins and we're forgiven forever, Father. And because we are freely forgiven, your love can freely flow in our lives. And I thank you, Father God, that as 2013 comes, we all will open up our hearts and be big receivers of your love. Why? Because Jesus' blood was shed. And now your love, Father, can flow freely. Thank you. And each time we drink of this cup, we are proclaiming the death of our Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would you partake of the cup with me, please? Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we're thankful for your word today. And I ask that all of us who were here today and heard your word, including myself, Lord, would make it our aim in the up and coming year to know this love better and better every day. I thank you for the Holy Spirit you have given unto us, who is the one who opens up our eyes. And I thank you, Father God. I pray now and I bless all the people here. And I ask, Father God, for a greater revelation of your love in their lives. And I thank you, Father. And I praise you that all of us in 2013 will be big receivers of your love. All to the glory of God through Jesus Christ. And all the saints said, Amen. You may be dismissed.